Okay. This morning we are, you know, there's a, what I really want to get to is to put on the new self, the good stuff, the positive stuff. But we're not quite ready for that. We're still on putting off the old self, putting off the deeds of the flesh. But let me ask you something first. Do you think that where we've been and what we've been talking about, do you think this is for you? Do you think it's for you personally? Is this something that is just random? You happen to be at this place and time and in this church, in this body, just by chance? Or do you think this is really for you, where we're at right now? I would like for you to consider that most likely, I could say with almost 100% that this is for you. That there really is something that God is dealing with you on. Let's go to James 1, 22 through 25. So if that's true, you know, what happens? We hear a lot of stuff. We hear a lot of teaching. And God even deals with us on a lot of things. We feel a certain amount of guilt on something. But real change is hard to come by. What happens is we change the way we think a little bit, but actually the way we live day to day, is that really changing? Because the topic we're on now, holiness, is about a real change in how you live. It's how you think, but not just how you think. It's how you live. It's what you do on a daily basis. Let's go to these verses. Chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That the reason we're doing this, the reason we're going into this, is that there will be, I'm telling you, it's so easy to fool ourselves and to deceive ourselves. We're trained by our culture. This is the culture we live in, and I mentioned this last week, I think, that to not really, truly take responsibility for what we do and what we have done. That we, and when you hear these words coming from me, coming from the Bible, your tendency is to go, well, that's good for you. And to remain independent of it. That's the culture that probably worldwide, that most concentrated in the United States. And to rationalize, to protect your self-esteem, to analyze and categorize your issues or problems. And there's much resistance to authority, to accountability. There's real resistance to confession and repentance. What does that mean? That means that you say, I am wrong. I have this separation between me and God. I've gone my own way and not God's way, and it's sin. It has separated me from God. That's a hard thing to do. Now, it's not hard to do that hypothetically. But to do it and like there's a real issue in your life. There's something real. It's hard for you to admit and say that and turn away from that and repent of it. Now, we're going to go through some lists today, straight from the Bible. List of don'ts, things that we should not be doing. Now, we need to be careful. These are things from the New Testament, directly in Scripture, that say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Now, the Christian life is not about a list. We know that. And I haven't gone into the Old Testament. One thing is, we know the law, the Ten Commandments. We know this. This is a review. That the purpose of the law, the Ten Commandments, is not a set of rules to live by. That's a side purpose. The main purpose of the law is we look into it and we say, oh my goodness, I've done that. I've hated this person. I've lied. I've took the Lord's name in vain. I've lusted. And the punishment for those things is what? It's death. It's death. So we can't do enough good things to balance that out. There's no hope unless we go to God and we say, I have sinned. I've gone my own way apart from you. I've rebelled against you. Take the death of Jesus. Let him be my substitute. And then you're reconciled to God. You come into a relationship with God. So then why do we go into all these rules that we're about to look at if they don't make us right with God? It's not these rules that change us. It's a relationship that changes us. That is contact. It's contact with God Himself that changes us. And when we walk with Him, when we really walk with Him, in relationship with Him, close relationship with Him, you don't have to be convinced to love the body, the church. You don't have to be convinced to be reading the Bible. You don't have to be convinced to have passion for God. You just have those things when you're walking with Him. But there are many forms and variations of sin that keep us from the inexpressible joy of walking in His presence. So, when you've been reconciled to God, when you're in a relationship with Him, and you sin, you do, what is sin? Sin is anything apart from God's desires. It's going my way instead of God's way. It's choosing self over God. Anything that takes me down that road. So, and anytime there's sin in our lives, that separates us from the relationship with God. So, we know from the ways we used to live, those old patterns, it's so easy to slip back into those things and deceive ourselves. So, that's why over and over, Paul's going to say, and other writers in the New Testament are going to say over and over, that be careful. Be alert. If these things are in your life, you're fooling yourself. You can't be in this close relationship with God and still have these things in your life. So you need to be alert and get rid of these things. This is how we are imitators of God and live a life of love and have our daily purpose in life being that in line with Jesus and to be conformed to His image. Sin puts a barrier in the relationship, and we are no longer being changed when the relationship is broken. So, I'll make an appeal to you that you turn to God, that you really listen to what He is saying to you. Now, if I have said something offensive in this series, or if I've been impatient with anyone, because, you know, it's my goal, my purpose, it's my job to see everyone conformed to the image of Christ, to walk with Jesus, to live for Him. So sometimes things don't move along as fast as I would like them to, for myself or for other people. And so please don't let anything that I may have said or done be a barrier to you hearing from the Holy Spirit, because it's very possible I've had some fault in this. So accept my apology and don't let me stand in the way of what God wants to do. Now, we must deal with sin and the lingering patterns if we're going to move on and have the joy of walking with Him. If we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, we have to deal with the sin issues in our life. And I know you don't hear this talked about every day. But this must happen if we're going to do that. Now, Jesus got brutal with sin, didn't He? He got radical with sin. God became a man and lived on this earth. He was rejected. He was beat. He was crucified. That's getting brutal with sin. That's how serious He was about reconciling the relationship of man to God, of having that intimacy. We were created to walk with Him and to reflect His image. And to live out the righteousness that He has put in us. If we know Him, if we've accepted His substitute, He's put righteousness into us. So here's the thing, we're not laying out a bunch of rules that you're not going to be able to do. When the Ten Commandments were laid out, couldn't do it. They didn't have the righteousness in them. Now, if we've accepted Him, we have that in us, we can do it. So, Here's the thing. This is what we're going to try to get to today. And please don't run from this. Okay? Please don't run from this. If you are not consistently bearing real fruit, love from your heart, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, which one do I always miss? Goodness, faithfulness. If those things are not, all those things are not a part of your life on a consistent daily basis, there's only one thing that's stopping it. One thing. Sin. So, don't listen to the other voices that provide some other solution or an excuse for your lack of fruit or an excuse for your lack of passion for God. Because you have passion for something in your life. We are all passionate for something. Just for pleasing ourselves, maybe. Or for something else. But you're passionate for something. And you're made to be passionate for God. So, I know this can be difficult. Especially if this pattern of sin in our life is the result of some injustice that's been done to us. So, I want to be careful with this. Because sometimes there's sin in our life, there's a pattern of sin, we're not bearing fruit, because we have responded in some way to some injustice that's been done to us. A child could have been done extremely wrong. We know there's some horrible things done to children. You know, we hear about it, we read about it. And maybe some of us have experienced that, some of those things. But when a person responds to those things, if they are embittered the rest of their life, if something happens, they become promiscuous the rest of their life. That's still their sin. Okay? It's still your sin. And it has to be dealt with. The only way to deal with it is to acknowledge it as sin, to confess, repent, and turn away from it. So, sometimes our compassion, because can short circuit God's true love and His compassion, because we let people off the hook. Everybody has a story. I hate to bring you into the message so soon, Elias, but since you're just first time, but Elias and I had a conversation. I don't know if you remember this, Elias, but there was somebody we were talking about somebody committing crimes, these guys being in jail, and I kind of made an excuse for a guy because of his childhood, the way he was raised up. And Leah said to me, every guy in that prison has a story. Every guy in that prison has an excuse. And I said, you're exactly right. Preach to the preacher. So, you are prone to this. It's not just those guys in the prison. You know, I guarantee you, he's right. Every one of those guys has a story as to why they're there. Certainly not their fault. Certainly not their fault. The way you're living today, the rebellion in your life, it certainly couldn't be your fault, could it? Could it? Because you've been done a terrible injustice. Some things have been done to you that have been wrong. And you're not being treated right to this day. And your circumstances are not very good. And that's why there's not fruit. Well, that's not why there's not fruit. There's not fruit because there's sin. It's the only answer. Okay, before we get into this, we're gonna go down these lists, but let's go to one thing first, and let's talk about, you know, there is this another thing from our culture is that we think we can do things that just affect us. We think we can do things that are just harmful to us. You know, this thing of, you know, pornography is a thing like that. That people think, well, I can look at this. This is just me. This is just me. Well, I'm sorry, but that is just not true. Not only does it affect everybody around you because it changes your whole perspective on life, but what about those people that are involved in the money-making monster that comes out of that and the wrong done to so many people through that industry? Well, that's just one example. There's no sin that you do that is just affects you. Let's bring that home to the church, to the body. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, this one particular one is for leaders. But this really, there's so many examples throughout the New Testament that we are to live in a way that can be imitated. That if somebody follows us and lives like us, it'll take them to God. Not what we say, but actually how we live. And that only way to do that is if we're bearing fruit in our life. Let's go to another verse. Proverbs 10:17. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. You're leading other people astray if you are not accepting the correction that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. If you're not turning away from your sin, other people are being affected by it. You can be sure. And, you know, this was the pattern in Israel. Do you remember that Achan, the guy that, I think I didn't even look up this story, but I hope I remember his name right. He was, the armies of Israel were going out to fight, and they, you know, they were supposed to be whipping these other people, and they kept getting beat, and they kept getting beat. And this one guy had, they were not supposed to take any of the spoils with them personally for this particular battle. And he had taken some things back with him, and he hid them in his tent. And just that act of deceit and thievery cost many, many lives because they started losing battles. And God communicated to Moses that there was sin in the camp. That's how it was termed. There's sin in the camp. Find out what the sin is. There's sin in the camp, and it's affecting everything. So, you know, I don't know to the extent, I really don't, that affects the church. But I do know when there's sin in the camp, it does affect the church to do what we are called to do. It does. So we can't just think that our issues are our issues. They're the whole bodies, really. So we're going to go through this list. It's listed on the back of your bulletin there. This is a combination of scriptures. I had some from the Old Testament too, but I decided to cancel those. Now every sin and every variation of sin can't be covered in this list. And certainly every pattern cannot be covered. We need to learn as we go through this, you think like this, not only the specific sin that's mentioned, but pattern, the things we need to learn to recognize the deep patterns of sin that are imprinted on us. Some of these sins leave some really deep patterns. Now, you must pray and ask God as we go through this. I think that this should be your prayer. That you are saying as with Psalm 26:2, test me, O Lord, try me, examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me. And let's go to, just as an example, we're not going to look up all these verses. We'll just go to one here so you can kind of get the flavor. Colossians 3:1-14. A little bit of a long section here, so read along carefully. And with all these lists, there are some things that are mentioned in all of the lists. You know, that I didn't really realize that there were this many lists in the New Testament of things not to do. Because we tend to stay away from this because we don't want anybody thinking that we earn our way to God. We make ourselves accessible to God by what we do. No, we live different because of what we are and what we've been transformed to. But we just have to work it out in fear and trembling. So we'll read through this. Follow with me. 1-14. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its Creator, being conformed to the image of Christ. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We'll just read the rest of this just to get some positive stuff here. Therefore, as God's chosen people and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As I went through, we're going to look at every one of those sins that are listed there, and quite a few more. I kind of started to just look back in the Greek and get a better understanding, but I did one of my usual things. I check out and I looked it up in Webster's, you know. Okay, these guys, these translators, they translated this into English words. What's the official definition of these English words? And it was amazingly helpful to look up definitions of some of these words that I was not clear about. So I'll share that with you as we go through. So remember, as we go through this, not just the actual sin, but patterns that lead up to these sins, or a substitute. You know, these sins that we have for the past, we have a substitute. We don't really change the pattern, we just substitute something else in there. You know, like we talked about that last week, or we've been talking about that every week pretty much, that there's something that's a definite sin that's listed, and we just substitute something that doesn't, it's not so bad, instead of really a changing of the heart. Another thing is be alert to the pattern of repetition. If you fall into one of these sins repetitively, if this is something that pops up consistently, then you know there's a pattern there that has to be dealt with. You need to get far away from that. You need to be radical in distancing yourself from that sin or that pattern of sin. Okay. Here we go. Down our list, every one of these is straight from the Scripture. I didn't make these up. And you can, if you want to look at those, all those Scriptures that are listed there, you'll find a list under every one of those. First one, sexual immorality. This is a general term. It covers everything from fornication, from sex outside of marriage, to adultery, to thought life, to pornography, to sensuality. And what is sensuality? Sensuality, this is my definition here, but is intent to arouse anybody other than your spouse. Not necessarily to have an affair or something like that, but it's intent to arouse through touch, you know, somebody that brushes up against people a lot for that hidden purpose. Looks, the way you look at someone, words, the things you say, how you dress, those, a being a sensual person that causes temptation for other people also. This would be covered under sexual immorality. The next one, impurity. And I thought Webster had an interesting one here. Impurity is unclean mixed with foreign matter. When we have a mixed purpose in life, mixed objective, mixed motive, we are to be pure in thought, pure indeed, to have the same purposes as Christ in everything that we do. Everything that we do should be to please Him. Debauchery. This is going astray morally. This implies, this implies that, you know how things get worse and worse and worse and worse, you know? It's the same with whether you're talking drugs or sexual sin or whatever. It's like a critical person. If they don't do anything about it, they just become more and more and more and more critical, or more and more and more and more angry as time goes on. Debauchery. And letting it go to its full extent, then you get you get all those deviant, the things that even our society calls deviant sins, but that we all are capable of going to if we follow down that road. Idolatry. This one was the most impacting to me. Idolatry. Now, and again, Webster had some pretty good things to say about idolatry. The first one was what you would expect, you know, the worship of an idol. But then, and you know that this is a sin that's repeated over and over and over in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. So, here's what Webster said. Excessive reverence or devotion to a person or thing. That was Webster, not even a Christian source. Excessive devotion and reverence to a person or thing. A reverence and devotion that displaces our reverence and devotion to God, our commitment to Him. Now, this would be a very difficult sin to acknowledge, okay? I'm just throwing that out to you. If this is your sin, this is very difficult for you to say, that's me. We don't want to be considered an idolater, that we're putting something else on the throne instead of God. But it's very common. It could be yourself. Any inappropriate dependence on a person, an object, or an activity. Any inappropriate dependence. It's God's desire and design for us to depend on Him. That's the way He made us. And we have a tendency to switch that dependence to something else. This includes emotional dependence and so-called codependence. You know, that psychological category. That's real. People do that. But it's a sin. What's the term I'm looking for? It's not a disorder. It is a disorder. It's a sin disorder. It's idolatry. That's what it is. Depression falls into this thing if it's a non-medical source. I mean, you can have some sort of a hormone imbalance or something like that. I'm not talking about that, okay? But depression is a idolatry of self, and it's not working. You know what I mean? It's a focus on yourself and what's going on with you and what's happened to you and your situation. You're putting yourself on the throne. You're dependent on yourself, but it's letting you down really bad. You're depressed. So, it can be, and it is a sin if it's not a medical condition. Now, there's mercy here, okay? This is not that somebody dies or some tragic thing happens that you don't, or something, you know, family thing just really, that you're not upset about that and it doesn't get to you for a while. But to stay in that or to come back to that often is something that needs to be dealt with as sin. Also in this, evil desires and greed was mentioned directly out of the Bible as idolatry, evil desires and greed. I think gambling would probably fall into this. Because it's relying on chance rather than faith in God for your benefit. You see, it's relying on chance rather than putting your trust in God. You could also say very poor management of the resources that God has put into your hands to manage for His purposes also. Witchcraft. Any involvement with the occult, channeling, Ouija boards, astrology, fortune tellers, all those things fall under witchcraft. Hatred. Remember, these things are called sin that we're talking about. Sins. Things that separate us from God. Discord. Did I say hatred? Strong dislike or ill will. Discord. Disagreement, lack of harmony, a protecting of self is usually involved in that. Disagreements. Jealousy. Listen to this one. Watchful guarding of one's rights. Watchful guarding of one's relationships. Watchful guarding of one's possessions. Suspicious of rivalry. And fear of rejection. See, fear is a lack of faith. Fear needs to be identified as a sin and repented of, or you'll never get rid of it. I mean, We have compassion for people that are fearful about this and that and this. And we should have compassion. But at some point it has to be identified as sin and dealt with. That you're not trusting God. It's sin. Jealousy, suspicious rivalry, fear of rejection, even jealous of my time, protecting my time, not allowing God to take control of my time. Fits of rage. Now, this is different than anger. Anger is a sin, not always a sin, but a sin. Fit of rage is always a sin. A fit of rage is uncontrolled anger. Something happens. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. You hit the wall. You know, guys, women do that too. That happens too. Nobody's immune to rage. Fits of rage. It's a sin. Uncontrolled anger. Needs to be dealt with. A fit of rage, if those things are still going on in your life, then that is a pattern that you need to go back and deal with the pattern. Because that goes back to anger, which goes back to something else. That you need to, there needs to be some repenting going on. You don't just feel the emotion of anger. You hit something, you scream, you implode. You're out of control, even for the instant like that. It's a lack of self-control. It's the opposite of one of the fruit of the Spirit. Selfish ambition. Strong desire for fame, wealth, or power. Self-aggrandizing. Next, dissensions. That is quarreling. Just bickering and arguing. Factions. Now, just so nobody misunderstands, that doesn't mean that every argument is a sin. An argument can be, let's figure out what where God's taking us. We disagree on this. And there can be a right way to disagree on things. Okay? But I think you get that kind of quarreling and bickering and attacking. Factions. Factions, this is related to divisions. This is related to being a divisive person. Being a divisive person is one of the things that Paul attacked in his letters more than just about anything. He had no tolerance for divisiveness in the body. This word factions, though, is related to divisions. It's really more a group of people, maybe a very small group of people, within an organization that are working against the common cause. That's the easy thing to figure out in the church. We have a common cause to build each other up, to make disciples, to know the, and if somebody in the church is moving in this direction, but a small group of people is over here pulling against that, that's a faction. Factions, envy. It's not a very fun message, is it? But, you know what? If this calls to your attention, a real life sin in your life, it wakes you up. Maybe this is why you don't have the joy in your walk with the Lord. Maybe this is why you don't have the kind of intimacy with God that you desire. It's because there's sin. And thankfully, there's a remedy for sin. There's a remedy for sin. Envy. Pep talk in the middle of this. Envy. Discontent over another's advantages, over another person's relationships, their possessions, desire for something belonging to another. Drunkenness. That's pretty self-explanatory, I believe. Getting drunk. Orgies. That's in there. It's listed a number of times. I looked that up in Webster, too. Wild party, especially with sexual activity. But another definition that Webster had was unrestrained indulgence in any activity. Thought that was interesting that he had that in there. Unrestrained indulgence in any activity. Adultery. Simply means sexual relations with anybody other than your spouse. Homosexual. You know, this is homosexuality and all of the sins of a sexual nature or a strong emotional nature can leave deep patterns. And this is a sin like other sexual sins. It's just, or other emotional, codependent sins. It's just gone too far. And we need to have the same attitude towards that that we do other sins. That we reach out to people that are in sin. We show them the way and help them back on the right road. It bothers me that, you know, to see Christians out with hateful signs and post, you know, rallying and that sort of thing. When certainly we make a stand on these sins like we do all other sins. But what's the difference, you know? This person has followed their old nature and they've gone that direction. Yeah, at least some pretty deep patterns that need to be dealt with and continued to repent it of. But just like when a person that was an alcoholic comes to know the Lord, they're no longer an alcoholic. They're not. They're a new person. Now, do they still have to deal with and be careful? Yes, they do. Same with a lot of these sins. It's the same thing. Thieves. That's pretty simple. Taking something that doesn't belong to you. Could be taxes. Could be time at work. Could be a lot of different things that we don't like to think about. But taking something that is not ours. Slander. This is to speak in a way to damage another person's reputation. And slander usually involves the implication there is a falsehood. A lie that is told to damage another person's reputation. Common. Next one, gossip. Now, gossip also damages or tears down another person, but it could be the truth or it could be made up. Gossip can be true. Generally has an element of truth with some stuff added to it, but it's not just spreading rumors, but it's voicing your negative assessment of another person's character. So when somebody else hears that negative assessment of another person's character, that damages that person's reputation in their eyes. And so, it's a sin. It's a sin to gossip. It's voicing your negative assessment of another person's character, their actions, their looks, their habits. Next one, swindlers. Swindlers are people that cheat, trick, and deceive to get their way. Manipulators would be a form of swindlers. Swindlers can be people that try to gain financial gain, or swindlers can also be people that gain relationship advantage because they are manipulating and swindling with emotions, with control, and those sorts of things. Greedy, just excessive desire. Greedy could be for wealth, could be for fun, could be for whatever. Malice. Malice is to have evil intent, a desire to harm. Deceit. Deceit is to mislead or cause a person to believe something that is not true. Certainly we would never tell a lie. Well, maybe, you know. The best of us sometimes let a little lie slip out, don't we? We let a little lie slip out. And it can get a pattern. It can become a part of our character. We need to be very careful with lying or with just deceiving. We're more liable for that, aren't we? Just deceiving, letting somebody believe something that's not true. Hypocrisy, acting a part or pretending to be what one is not, or to pretending to feel something that one does not feel. A hypocrite. Next was listed as a slander of every kind, which kind of my definition there, is twisting things to your advantage by making another person look bad. That's a pretty tempting thing to do on the job, even in a marriage relationship. You know, to just continually making the other person look good, look bad so you can stay on top. Unwholesome talk. Anything that is not uplifting, that is not true, anything that is of a base or crude, or sexual nature is what is talking about there. Unwholesome talk. Bitterness. Wow. You know, that's just one little word there, but that ruins people's lives. Bitterness can take you to the pit. And it needs to be fully dealt with. Anger. Anger is hostile feelings because of opposition or hurt. Now, we know there is a righteous anger that's talked about. A lot of times we like to assign righteousness to our anger when it's really just somebody's hurt us. We've had our feelings hurt or somebody's done us wrong. But righteous anger does not originate out of selfish motives or hurt pride. What are some things that made some people in the Bible angry? I think about Paul. He got angry when there were divisions in the church. He got angry when there was false teaching in the church. He got angry when there was gossip going on in the church. And he dealt with it strongly. Jesus got angry. He got angry when the temple was being used for worldly gain, for buying and selling. He got angry about that. That was God's holy place. Obscenity. Anything obscene, offensive, foolish talk, we should consider the content of all of our conversations. We get into a group, we start talking, the natural flow is downhill. It is. We just go down the wrong road. Whether it's cuts to each other, or whether it's sexual in nature, going to the gutter, or whatever, that's the tendency. So it's something we need to be, here's a common thing that it starts in grammar school is that you have a little group of people talking and there's somebody maybe that can't hear you that walks by or that's doing something else and you just kind of make fun of them. And then everybody laughs and it's funny. Then you make fun and everybody laughs. And some people get really good at that. That's a sin. That's a sin. Coarse joking. I think everybody could have a feel for what that is. Filthy language. Lust. We have covered basically, we kind of have covered lust, that desire sexually for another person that you have no business having a desire for. Worry, fear, despondency. Those don't sound like sins to us, do they? Worry. That's the opposite of faith. That's the opposite of peace. It's the opposite of joy. All are signs that a dependent love relationship with God is not a present reality. One final thing there on those lists is that we pay attention to the content and the leanings of our entertainment, our music, recreation, the values we absorb, and the time we invest. That we pay attention to those things. Now, this is not a burden. This is not a burden. If we use this list like it's meant to be used, it's not a burden. It's meant that we see these things, we ask the Holy Spirit to examine us, we see if any of those things are present in our life, and it should make us go, all right, that's why my walk with the Lord has not been what it should be. That's why I don't have the joy of the fellowship with God that I want to have. I can see it. There it is. It's sin. It's separating me from God. Now I can deal with it. Now I can confess it. I can repent. I can turn away and I can stay far from it. As soon as I see it start to spring up, I can run from it. I can stay far from it. When we go our own way, our fellowship with Him is blocked. And the purpose and joy of our existence is short-circuited. It short-circuits the purpose we're here. To have fellowship with God. To reflect His nature in a holy life. Now, let's go to one verse here. We're almost done. John 8:12. I'm always concerned about this. I so much do not want to be confused with just trying to live a goody-goody life for the sake of making ourselves acceptable, or that our goodness, that the goodness of our life flows out of our relationship with God, not a bunch of rules that we have to obey. That's not our life. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is difficult to come into the light. To come into the light is to admit their sin. But, you know, it's like if Jesus is walking with this lantern, he's in the light, but yet that light reveals our sin. He reveals these things, these impurities, these unwholesomeness, these thought processes, these patterns, these things that we desire above God. It reveals those things to us. Then we have to stay out of the light. We can't be close to Him. We're scurrying around in the dark, clutching and stumbling and clutching onto something that's making us, it's not helping us, but yet we won't come into the light. But in the light is where companionship, where warmth and fellowship and joy and letting Him lead the way, not worrying about stumbling. To come into the light takes care of those things. It takes care of that weight of guilt that we carry for how we've been living and what we've been thinking. And we can walk with Him in the light. But as long as that sin's there, we can't be walking with Him. We're scurrying around in the darkness. So we have to come into the light. Now, we're going to continue to bring up some things. You know, there are some things that we struggle with that need a little more attention. And maybe anger could be one of those. Maybe anxiousness could be one of those. Maybe sexual purity would be one of those. That we'll, as we go through the rest of our series on wholeness, we'll just bring one of these things up maybe a week and examine it a little closer to see, make sure that that's rid. We're getting rid of that out of our life. But we are going to move on to the growth part. Putting on Christ. What are the things that help us to put on Christ? What is the process of putting on Christ and staying there, of walking with Him in joyful, wonderful fellowship with Him? And if you have any suggestions, if there's some particular thing you'd like to see dealt with, whether it's anger or depression or even sexual sins, if you would like to see pornography, anything like that, you don't have to sign your name to it. You can just write it on the sheet and drop it in if you want, and we'll deal with that particular thing. We'll try to do a little research and try to cover a little more fully. So, I know this wasn't much fun, but it leads to something extremely wonderful. So I would like for you to just, as Ange plays, just reflect for a minute. And don't let these things weigh you down. If something is on your heart and on your mind, deal with it. Find, you know, so many of us carry these remnants of sin and these patterns year after year after year. And then we finally get rid of it and you go, oh man, why did I live like that? This was available. Why did I live like that? Why did I scurry around in the dark and stumble around? I could have been walking in the light with Jesus the whole time. So pay attention to those things. Deal with them. Ken Carlson and I will be hanging out back here if anybody does want to pray or talk about any of those things. So.
Burn away the draws, only fire.